Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the field trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest and I've felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This feels normal.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. This just feels right. We've been opening the mailbag all week. Normally, we just reserve that for Friday, but this week we decided let's just open her up every single day. And this is the first day where it feels right because we are just creatures of habit, aren't we? This is why you sit in that same place every Sunday morning at your church. Admit it, you do it. And when somebody sits in your pew or padded chair, whatever you have there, wow. I've heard several people say this. They were visiting a church. They just went in and sat down. And then before the service started, the person who usually sits there arrives and just stands and glares.
I guess these are your seats. We'll just leave right now.
We are creatures of habit, and our habit is now regular. It's Friday, and we hope that you will send stuff. Anything wretched to idea@wretched.org, or you can text whatever you want. I mean, as long as your thumbs have the strength to 877-282-2337.
Speaking of church, this is from Mary. Todd, I hear people saying at church how important it is to be authentic. And I just can't help but think that's narcissistic. I especially thought so when after they receive correction of any kind, major or minor, they are deeply offended, respond with slander against the person correcting them, and completely do a 180 in their character. And now they say they're praying for unity, as if anyone was questioning them causes disunity.
Mm-hmm. So let's just focus on the one aspect of a rather complex email, and that would be the authentic movement. We're just going to be authentic Christians. Well, the reality is we should. That tends to be the problem with trends. There's a little bit of truth inside of them. We should be transparent appropriately with others that are believers because we're to carry one another's burdens. We're to walk with one another. We're to be paracletes for one another. So there should be that level of authenticity. The problem is it's kind of become a movement. And anytime I think a good thing becomes a movement, it tends to turn it into a bad thing. And in this instance, I think a phony thing. Jimmy. Henceforth, you are going to be authentic because we're going to be authentic broadcasters. So be authentic.
As opposed to what? No,
hey,
what was that?
Was
mean?
That authentic? Was that genuine? Are you sharing the truth? Okay, it just becomes forced. So I see the truth in it. I reject the organization of it. But I would instead suggest it should simply be something that is a byproduct. Authenticity will come based on what is coming out of that pulpit, based on what is happening in Sunday schools, what people are consuming at church. All of these things that we desire the church to be will become if the preaching of the word cultivates it. If you don't have that coming out of the pulpit, you can create all the programs in the world. And then you're going to, not only are you going to have to run a program, you are going to have to harp, hey, everybody here volunteers, and we don't have enough volunteers in the kids' class ministry. So you need to start volunteering now. You're going to be a sheep herder for your organized, authentic movement. It should just happen. Now, having said that, I do understand organization is needed, and it can be good. I'm talking about turning it into a program. When a fruit of the Spirit becomes programmatic, I think it has gone rotten. It needs to just happen. I was overhearing a conversation. That means I was eavesdropping where I had no business. Was listening to a conversation. Libby, one of our Fortis fellows, she had just finished up a women's retreat that we did at Alpharetta Bible Church. The ladies went up to the mountain. So a couple dozen women went up to talk about discipleship and the necessity of having a discipleship relation on both ends. Another, you should have somebody discipling you, and you should be discipling somebody who's less mature, less old in the faith than you are. And that's what the weekend was about. Yeah, I know. It wasn't about your authentic feelings. It was about how to disciple one another. And I heard Libby say, she was sharing the deets with Mrs. Friel, that at the end of the conference, they said, just so you know, we're not going to turn discipleship into a program at Alpharetta Bible Church. We're just going to do it. Just we do it because that's what Christians do. We just see the need and we fill it. We hear the command and we obey it. And in order to, we should be discipling one another. And it should just happen. Now, I get it. You want to get it organized, make sure that somebody is assigned to. I get that totally. So I'm not poo-pooing all programs, but I am poo-pooing the ones that become programmatic. Church should be organic, especially in its authenticity. That's kind of ironic. All right, everybody, you're all going to act authentic. Wait a second. I don't think you can act authentic. I think you are authentic or you isn't. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Anonymous. It was a text. Todd, I'm a guy on staff at a college Bible study with my wife on campus. Every year I'm asked if I want to preach, and I've always said no each time. I don't believe I have the gift of preaching, so I don't think it's necessary. I did preach about 8 years ago, but I haven't since, and I'm wondering if I should reconsider this.
Preach where?
It's a college Bible, Bible college.
Okay. Could you preach? Well, sure. But I think you're on the right path of asking the question, is that something you're gifted at? You don't want to be engaging in something that you just aren't very good at. And I don't think that's just pulpit ministry. I think that's any sort of ministry in the church. And by the way, this should be slightly liberating perhaps for you if you're feeling pressure to be a part of a ministry / program that you just don't dig. Look, sometimes you just do stuff because it has to get done. But I don't think that you have to force yourself to be engaged in a particular ministry. If that isn't your gifting, figure out your gifting and then go for that and really excel in that. Furthermore, you'll enjoy it more. Again, you'll have to do some things in church. You'd rather not, but we just have to get them done. But seek out the ministry where you can really excel and bless people because you're gifted at it. And it's something that the Lord has allowed you to excel at, as opposed to smashing yourself in. And when I think ultimately of preaching, if that's not your gifting and perhaps you're not qualified, I would actually say absolutely do not. There is a massive responsibility in preaching. This is why pastors, not in whole but in part, are going to be judged more strictly. You are proclaiming the word of God. You're standing up and saying, thus saith the Lord. Because preaching, it should contain elements of teaching. It should have exhortation. It should be a calling up and a calling out. Those are serious responsibilities. And if you're not qualified to do that, or if you don't have the gifting to do that, run from that responsibility and say, I'm sorry. There is no way that I am going to get up when I am not qualified for that task. I will simply have to leave that to others. I think that's not only wise, I think that's safer. Jimmy, would you tell the guy to preach?
No, I would agree. If you're not gifted in that area and you realize you're not gifted in that area, then keep doing what you've been doing, no, which is not.
And teaching too, for that matter. Now, maybe you say, well, what about at home with the kids? You're charged to do that. So yeah. You got to do that. You teach your kids, get better at it. Do they get bored? Do their faces end up in a plate of spaghetti because they're just get better at it? but you are charged to do that. You're not charged to do every ministry in the church. And standing up in front of a body of believers and proclaiming, thus saith the Lord, that is hoofta. That's right. Hoofta.
You know, this guy recognizing that he's not gifted to preach, you know what that is? That's him being authentic.
Oh, you brought it around full circle. He's being... Okay, Jimmy, be transparent. Share something you've never shared. Be it. Do it.
Share something I've never...
Be transparent. We're going to be a transparent church.
Okay.
It's just... Our pendant, we see a need and then we turn it into this thing. And I get it. And it can be such a long sled that a church starts to just kind of organically do stuff. Somebody sees a need and they go, that's mine. I'll take care of that. That, dear pastor, have programs as needed, but be careful that you are using programs for the vitality of the church. The programs should simply be used to organize the vitality. I think that's pretty good right there.
Yeah, that's
good. I'm not sure it's a tweet, but that's pretty good right there. Preach, 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 preach on the one another's. Preach on the wondrous love of Jesus, and you will see your church needing fewer and fewer programmatic authentic encouragements. This is Wretched Radio.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Kreutz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation. in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sing a hymn, Todd. Sing a hymn. This is Wretched Radio. You ever get a song stuck in your head? I don't even want to tell you what's stuck in my head. I don't know why it's there. I'm sure the lyrics aren't good. Okay, fine. It's Jody Watley. I'm looking for a new love baby. It's just rolling through my head. And simultaneously, I'm hearing Mrs. Friel say, sing a hymn. Whenever you get one of those earworms, sing a hymn. That will drive it away. So, Jimmy, would you make an announcement about something?
I'll make an announcement about something, yeah. Okay. FortisPlus.org. It's full of hundreds of hours of audio and video.
Just, forget it. Just forget. You couldn't come up with an announcement so I could start singing a hymn.
Sorry, you put me on the spot.
Nothing.
I'm organizing your questions here.
Nothing. How's about, for instance, you can get the Fortis app on your TV thing. Hold on. Where's the details on this? Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, Google Play, Samsung, LG, and Vizio. You can download the app. It is absolutely free. Hundreds of hours of free content, Bible studies, the whole shebang, courtesy of our gospel partners. Was it that hard?
No.
Was it that hard?
Not with something.
I know
in front
that
of
My Redeemer Lives is the one that came to mind. You know what? There are at least 8 verses, maybe 10 verses to that hymn. And the one that puts a lump in my throat every single time, and not every version has it the same way. He lives my Jesus, still the same personal pronoun. Wow. How kind is God to us? Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org. If you'd like to text 877-282-2337.
This is from James. Todd, would churches selling merchandise with the church logo be equivalent to the reason Jesus flipped the tables in the temple?
Might be. Might be. I don't think it's necessarily a sin. In fact, you should know that maybe Deuteronomy, it's Deuteronomy or Leviticus, pretty sure it's in the Old Testament, if you haven't unhitched that just yet, that talks about the necessity of having those things available by the temple so that people who are traveling a long distance and can't bring the animal with them can procure them there. So it's not wrong necessarily to sell stuff in the temple courtyard. The problem that Jesus had was it was becoming so corrupt. And people were selling it at ridiculous rates for the sake of profit. It was like their job. It was like becoming a vendor at the Minnesota State Fair. Let me explain that. The story goes in Minnesota, this is kind of one of those urban legends, probably true, that if you've got a decent deep-fried product, which frankly, everything is decent if you deep-fry it, but if you got a deep-fried product and you get yourself a booth at the Minnesota State Fair, I think it lasts 12 days, the fair. You can make enough money for the year. It's just that profitable. That's what the temple had become, the Minnesota State Fair. Just selling it to make a living, taking advantage of people. Furthermore, it had also, I think, just become corrupt on the part of the purchaser. I'm here to do my religious duty. I pay for my atonement. It had become a heartless transaction. And that's what Jesus despised. So that, I think, needs to be the understanding of selling things in church. I think it's fair to take the temple and say, okay, let's think church context. Can you sell anything at the church? Of course you can. I mean, it's not forbidden. The question is, what are you selling and why are you selling it? And what is it doing for the people who purchase it? And if you're selling books, for instance, that'll edify people and grow people, and could it even potentially help with the operation of the church? Sure, got to be careful with that you're not doing it for the sake of greed. But I think that that's all very valid biblical transactions that can take place in the church. But got to take a look at merch, the t-shirts. Okay, why are you selling those? And if there is a genuine answer that says, well, if people wear this shirt, people are going to learn about our church. That's not a bad thing. Now, if it's kind of, we're cool because we got a new graphic designer and we got a logo and we got these t-shirts and they're 100% cotton and it's got the collar that everybody thinks is cool these days. And yeah, the profit margins aren't bad either. Then don't do it. Then I think your tables need to be tipped. It's a heart issue. And if your heart is currently full, then I'd like you to express that heart by sending wretched things to idea@wretched.org.
Okay, I don't know how to follow that. This is from Evan.
Maybe talking like this would have been smoother.
This is from Evan.
Don't do it. Don't.
From Evan. Todd, my wife and I have decided to homeschool our three boys, ages 10, 7, and 3. I'm curious, do you have any curriculum recommendations?
You don't want all my curriculum recommendations because there's too many of them. That is one of the beauties of homeschooling. This is not a nascent movement. This is not like, okay, well, we've cobbled together. I guess we could teach this next week. That should get us through. Are you kidding? It is so sophisticated. There are many good organizations that produce a lot of homeschool curriculum. So my preference, if you were going to say what homeschool curriculum should you get, I would say eclectic. And get the eclectic model, meaning knowing your kids as opposed to the government system. You're all getting this. You know your kids. You know where they excel. You know where they struggle. Go to a homeschool convention and study the curriculum that are offered there and see what level they're written at. Now, it's been a bit since we've homeschooled our kids, but as I recall, I believe it's Apologia. I think that was more of the academic sort of homeschool curriculum. And now, not as academic, not academic less, but I want to say the Sunshine curriculum. So maybe your kid just P-U's at math. Why are you going to give them a heavy, hard curriculum where they just struggle and flounder? So you go to the Sunshine math, you get that. But hey, they're really, really good at geography. Then go get the top, put it together, make it eclectic. And don't forget too, there are the big organizations, the big houses like Apology and Sunshine. They crank out a lot of good stuff. But don't forget about some of the smaller folks. And you can use their curriculum too, as long as you can get credit for it. I mean, guess in your state, depending on how they run the homeschool deal. But there's plenty of options. And that's why I can't share with you an option because first of all, I don't know your kids. Second of all, there's too many of them. That is why my encouragement is go to a homeschool convention. You're going to get immersed in this. You're going to be overwhelmed. Seriously, you're going to just walk around going, honey, can we just go like get a hot dog and take a break here? Because it's like so much stuff going on. Just hang in there. Keep going from booth to booth to booth and you'll start to get clarity. And then you go back to your hotel room and you go, hey, I was looking at this. What do you think about this? And you put the whole thing together on your hotel room bed. Then you create the curriculum that's custom designed just for each kid. And I think the most efficient way to do that is by attending a homeschool convention. I'm a huge fan of Teach Them Diligently. I've spoken there. I think it's maybe been a couple of years since we went to Pigeon Forge, if I'm not mistaken, to speak at the Teach Them Diligently conference. I know they've got two or three of them. They're excellent and their heart is right. I'm not saying that the other homeschool conferences don't have it right. I'm just telling you, I know Teach Them Diligently does. They want to make sure that you're not just becoming the school teacher, that you're still mom. They want to make sure you end up, yeah, being somewhat rigid with the rules, but maintaining a relationship, not just downloading theology, but encouraging a relationship with their Savior. I think Teach Them Diligently, they're just on point in that regard. So find one, visit one, and then create an eclectic homeschool curriculum. idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Kenyon. Todd, how can I see the Holy Spirit working more in my life? It seems like I don't love God like I should.
Well, that is correct. I don't know you, but you don't. Neither do I. And yet he loves us. How shocking. I mean, just how shocking. I mean, do you hold on to many relationships, especially in our current culture of cancellation and boundary drawing and putting up fences that we need to keep anybody out of our life who doesn't contribute magnificently to King Me? That's not the way Jesus acts. X, King Jesus, he loves us, even when we are not loving him the way that we should. We can never love him to that degree. And so you rest in that, and that will increase your love for him. How can you see more fruit? Well, that would be one way. Concentrate on the love of God in Christ Jesus. That will change you. It will affect you. It will grow you. That is the only way that you can love others, let alone love your enemy, is to know the love of God in Christ Jesus. To know that love. In other words, to use a term of the Puritans, to experience that love. Oh, Jimmy, I think I forgot that earlier this week. Sometimes people read the Puritans because they just want that, yeah, theology. They want their head filled with that articulation of high-minded theology. It's not all the Puritans did. They also were experiential in their faith, relational with their God. Grow in that, and you'll just start to see more and more fruit. And if you're really feeling like there's a total drought, ask some friends to either help you or to identify the fruit that you are overlooking. Grow in your love for God, and you will grow in fruit production. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. A powerful coalition launched at the National Conservatorum Conference is taking aim at the Supreme Court's Obergefell decision that created same-sex marriage. They're laying out and exposing exactly how it's destroying children's lives. Here's the horrifying reality. 21 children rescued from a California mansion where they were manufactured through surrogacy for Chinese government officials. Twin six-year-olds removed from a 74-year-old man who kept one in a cage. Gay marriage did all of that, according to one of these officials, which she correctly calls child trafficking disguised as constitutional rights. The White House is finally addressing what we've been warning about for years, transgender domestic terrorism. Sebastian Gorka confirms the new counterterrorism strategy specifically addresses transgender violence, noting this pattern didn't happen overnight. Just last week, someone targeted Christian children at a Catholic church, killing two and injuring 17. His manifesto showed a trans flag next to Jesus on a target. That's the shooting that took place in Minneapolis. Before that, Nashville. Before that, Utah, Massachusetts, Maryland. The list keeps growing. Yet somehow, according to Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, the problem isn't deranged killers targeting churches. It's law-abiding citizens having guns to defend themselves. Tell that to congregations in Texas, Tennessee, and California, where armed citizens stop mass shootings. Disney just got caught with their hand in the cookie jar, a $10 million cookie jar filled with children's personal data. The FTC nailed them for violating COPPA rules by collecting data from kids watching YouTube without parental consent. They mislabeled videos to dodge regulations, running 350,000 targeted ads to children while claiming the content wasn't made for kids. Some good news, Florida's becoming the first state to end all vaccination mandates, every last one of them. The Surgeon General said every last one is wrong and drips with disdain and slavery. That's his quote. And he's right. The government has no business forcing anything into your body or your child's body. That's between you and God. Every other state requires school vaccinations, and liberal states are eliminating religious exemptions, forcing families to flee or submit. The Treasury Secretary reports tariff revenues hit $31 billion in August alone, a new record that could reach $500 billion annually. The Congressional Budget Office now says Trump-era tariffs could cut the deficit by $4 trillion over the next 10 years. Turns out, protecting American workers and manufacturing in our country actually pays off. And that is today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And hey, don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app. And I wish you would do that so you could get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. The first name given to God is Elohim in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim is a plural noun, but the verb created is singular. God is plural in personhood, but singular in being. The Creator God is the triune Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Today's word is commiserate. This is Wretched Radio. Hoping you'll send stuff to idea@wretched.org. I don't know if I mentioned this because, you know, I'm trying to keep it on the down low. Went to the John MacArthur Memorial. Did I share that? Yeah. And Paul Washer and I spent some time chatting, commiserating about preaching. That preaching in our circles has become so intellectualized that it entirely circumvents the entire man. It addresses the intellectual curiosity that so many of us possess when it comes to theology. But if it isn't affecting us in sanctification, in our battle for holiness, our affections and our emotions, our desires, even our instincts, then something's wrong. Then it's missing the mark. And that's something that I've observed for years, that we've overcorrected, frankly. We've gone from squishy, ooey-gooey, nothing pablum preaching to mere didactics that does indeed fill the head. But what does the filling of the head do if it's not affecting the heart? It puffs us up. Paul was lamenting on that too, by the way. And I don't think Paul never blanches at telling it as he sees it. So I don't think he'd be like, Friel, zip it. Don't share that. No, he was very, very concerned about the intellectual pride that he found to be very apparent in our conservative Bible teaching circles. And he was lamenting the fact that we are reading the Puritans wrong. And he started saying this, and I'm like, preach, brother, preach. Because for years we've been on about that here. We go to the Puritans because you're flipping through your TV, you see Joel Osteen, and you're like, I'll go read the Puritans. Just to kind of counter whatever it is that he's selling that week. And you go to the Puritans and you read this profound, deep theology and their use of scripture, particularly their dipping into the Old Testament so amazingly. And we read that stuff and we go, yeah, good theology, good teaching. And Paul, said what I think we've been saying here for years. Hold the phone, Henrietta. The Puritans weren't mere intellectuals. They were experiential in their faith. Experiential. Now, if you are one, this could be a test for you. If you are one who is wondering if you have allowed the faith to become more of an intellectual pursuit than anything else, you will know that if the word experiential bothered you. Because in your mind, you went, experiential. What is that like? Henry Blackaby experiencing God? You want us to do that? Okay. You might be one who has become perhaps a little bit intellectualized. Our faith is experiential. We know God. We know God, and God knows us. Now, I'm not saying that he's talking to us in our heads or giving us dreams and visions, but is it possible that our relationship with our Lord has become less familial than maybe it once was when you first got saved? Remember that? Remember the tears, the joy, this is so amazing. And that maybe, like the church in Ephesus, we've lost that a bit because we've been pursuing being the great discerners of the 21st century. And we pursued lots of knowledge, but it hasn't translated into being experiential. Are you led by the Holy Spirit? That was another test, by the way. If you just went, oh, great, what? You want us to do like 6 hours of worship and have fire falling from the sky? Is that okay? Now you might be one who's just turned Christianity into an intellectual pursuit. Our relationship with our God should be spirit-led. I'm not talking about liver shivers, but is your day led by the Spirit? Are you controlled by Him? And do you know it? Does your spirit testify with his spirit, or has it become a bit dry? And Paul and I spent some time talking about this, and it's not to suggest that we suddenly become liberal, but maybe we to a degree, thrown out the baby with the bathwater. And we need a corrective. Now, not an overcorrective, but we could perhaps use a bit of a corrective because the Christian faith should be experiential. The Christianity, when you got saved, you weren't handed a clipboard. Or maybe these days, I guess, one of those laptop-y things, the tablet. What do they call the thing when you go to the doctor's office and now you have to hit the buttons with your pointer finger to put all your information in there?
The iPad?
Tablet?
iPad.
Okay, yeah. iPad, fine. Whatever. You put the information in there and then you get submit it. Your form has been accepted and off you go. No. No, you are invited into a relationship with God. That's your Romans 5, 1 and 2, Rex Sella. You're brought into this relationship. It's relational. Has that perhaps evaporated in your walk? Maybe it's time for you not to lose your intellect, but maybe, just maybe, to for a moment let down your intellectual guard to a degree and consider, is your faith affecting the totality of you? Is it merely intellectual, or is it also, not or, also experiential? 877-282-2337.
Let's stay in that realm just a little bit. This is a question from Anonymous. Todd, I'm a young adult and a serving member of a solid local church. Growing up, older people in my family weren't spiritual leaders. In fact, my parents and grandparents often came to me with biblical questions because they didn't know where to find the answers. I don't want to be proud or unteachable, but I'm not used to seeking guidance from others to learn spiritual things. How can I cultivate learning from godly people in my church?
Well, it's good that you recognize this. So I don't know where you're at in this progression, but here's where it starts. A recognition, you don't know it all. I don't know it all. If you're 20, you don't know as much as a 30-year-old. If you're a 30-year-old, you don't know as much as a 40-year-old, etc. We can all learn from somebody who is elder. And it starts with recognizing, I got stuff I need to learn. So I guess it starts with humility and a recognition that the Lord has put other people here before me and given them more wisdom because of more experience. It is something that they have gained over the years and the decades. And Solomon would tell you, you're a fool if you don't go looking for it. Go find it. Go look for somebody in your church who is wiser than you are, who is more experienced than you are, and let them disciple you. It should be organic. It doesn't need to be formulaic. Look, if you want to meet every Friday morning for Bible study, that's cool. But it should just be this organic, ongoing thing where you call and you talk and you go to a ball game and you talk about the game and the stats and your Savior and sanctification. That's being discipled by somebody, and it will benefit you simultaneously. You should then be looking to disciple somebody who is not as mature as you are because you have stuff that the Lord has taught you that they don't know. And so this is a two-way discipleship street. So good on you. Overcome that obstacle. And if that negative presentation of encouraging you to be humble and learn and not be a fool. Well, let me try a positive spin. How's about you going to grow? You're going to save yourself so much pain. You are going to make better decisions. You will expedite your advancement in the world, not just in sanctification, on the planet, because you're going to avoid the pitfalls that your peers have fallen into. You're going to be smarter. You're going to be wiser. So seek it and learn from them. There's two ways to learn. There's two ways to learn. From a knucklehead and who did it wrong, you can follow in their footsteps and be a knucklehead, or you can heed the wisdom of somebody who's wise and says, don't do that. Do this instead. And then you don't have to make the dumb decision and experience it yourself. That's the two ways to learn. You can experience the fall, or you can avoid the fall by heeding wisdom. Should be a no-brainer. And yet, it's hard. And I think the book of Proverbs, I think, proves that. Like a nail being banged repeatedly into a piece of wood. Seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. Don't be a fool. Don't be a knucklehead. Don't listen to scoffers. Download wisdom from here. Listen to your parents. If you're not listening to your parents, I can safely proclaim you're a fool. And I don't mean that like I'm name calling. I'm just saying the Bible would say you're foolish because your parents, they got your back. Yes, I know that there are some genuinely toxic parents. Most are not. Most, especially if you've got Christian parents, they're godly and nobody loves you on the planet more. Nobody will have your back more. And nobody has learned more than your parents, especially regarding you. So be wise. Listen to mom and dad. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Not battles with other people, battles in your life. Dr. John Crotch breaks down theology you can actually use with Integrated. And Pastor Brad Digney, he's helping your marriage thrive instead of just survive. Dr. Adam Tyson speaks truth into the hearts of young men, all on your phone and all for free. So while the world's feeding you garbage, you can be feeding your soul with solid biblical truth. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. It's free, it's powerful, and it's exactly what you need in this upside down world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies. Marriage and parenting, beautiful gifts from God. But let's be honest, they're not easy. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're wondering if you're doing it right, listen, you're not alone. And more importantly, there's hope. Pastor Brad Bigney understands these challenges. With 36 years of biblical counseling experience and over 3 decades of shepherding his church, he brings you God's timeless wisdom each and every week on Thrive.
To be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God.
And this isn't just another how-to show. Pastor Brad Bigney and Thrive reveals the truth about your marriage. It's a living picture of Christ's relationship with his church. And your parenting, it's a divine calling to disciple the next generation. As Pastor Brad says, your home wasn't designed to just survive. God created it to thrive. Find Thrive with Brad Bigney right now at fortisplus.org or all major podcast platforms.
Attributes of God. The Bible tells us of God's faithfulness. Since God is truth, he has no desire to break his promises. Since he is omnipotent, nothing can cause him to break promises. Since his promises are based on his eternal plan, God will always keep them. Scripture called God a rock, a fortress, and a bulwark, never failing because he is faithful. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You can thank Jimmy for this. This is Wretched Radio. Okay, it's a little bit dated, but I just found out, so it's fresh news to me in the entertainment world. The Swiftie is getting married.
She is.
To the football player?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be a 50-year sort of model marriage. There's little question about that.
It's funny. I told my wife when she texted me and told me, I said, man, when did you ever think you would read that a professional NFL football player would be the one signing the prenup?
Right? She's a gazillionaire.
Yeah, that's right.
And you were just sharing, because I didn't know about this. What is it, a week or two old? Whatever. Yeah. You were just telling me that women, grown women, are crying.
Oh yeah, they cry over her all the time for some reason.
Well, I cry when I hear her too, but I think it might not be for the same reason. What are they crying about? They wanted to marry her?
Just weird obsession. I don't understand.
She is wildly popular. And I don't get it either. Nevertheless, she is a monstrously big force. And guess what? In 50 years, nobody's going to remember her.
Nope.
Even Elvis has continued now 50 years in. I think they're, hey, I think it might even, is it today? I think the new Elvis movie is coming out. Do you remember that Baz Luhrmann or something? He's the one who made that Elvis movie, the biography piece, a year or two ago. And apparently he found all kinds of footage that hasn't been released. And he's put it together. It's called Epic. Epic. E-P-I-C. Elvis Presley in Concert. Okay, so he's enduring 50 years later. Anybody still going to a Chubby Checkers reunion? Anybody? No. Gone. And Chubby Checkers was huge. And I don't mean that about his person. I mean, he was a big deal. Nobody remembers. Jason was just sharing this with me. Okay. Sorry for this setup. But apparently the governor of Georgia walked into a restaurant where Vince Gill was having breakfast. And the older governor put his hand on the head of Vince Gill and he said, "Son, really enjoy your work, but you need to know something. The number of people that are going to attend your funeral will be determined by the weather that day." Poof. Well, then, there's a sobering word. And ain't it the truth? Right now, as we speak, for all I know, Jody Watley could be in a nursing home. She was hot. Just the biggest hit in the planet in 1980s. Where is she right now? Who remembers? And this isn't to diss Jody Watley. I hope she had more than one hit. It's not to diss any celebrity. The point is we don't remember them. There are sitcom stars from the 70s and 80s that are currently in nursing home, and the people that are cleaning their bedpan have no idea who they are, nor do they care. And you say, well, this certainly turned dark. No, this became reality. Solomon was onto this. Vanity, vanity. It's all vanity. It's a vapor. That's why we're to petition the Lord to teach us to number our days, that what we do here means nothing unless we're doing it for the Lord. What did Solomon say in, I think it's Ecclesiastes 2, maybe about verse 11? How can I enjoy a meal if I don't know the Lord? Nothing means anything without the Lord. You got the Lord, and then you scoot to the end of Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14 say that here's the end. Here's the deal. Do everything for God. That's what brings meaning to life. Everything else, celebrity, financial gain, all gone. What lasts? What we do for the Lord. And so many young people, they want to pursue being a celebrity, to be an influencer, means nothing. Go ahead. Name me one vice president from the 19th century. I'll wait here. Go ahead. Got one. How many presidents can you name from the 19th century? Because we don't care. Do you know that Teddy Roosevelt, was there a big legislative battle that he had? There was a super important piece of legislation. Do you want to know what it is? Nah, I can't tell you because nobody remembers. But it was a big deal. Big deal. Feels so important. It's not in the eternal scheme of things. What we do for the Lord is what matters. I think I'm going to be preaching on that in just a few moments. At the Cornerstone Conference, how do you love an unlovable world? That's the question that I will be seeking to answer. And I believe that the answer is we love the world by showing the same love that has been shown to us. That's what matters. Jesus is not building a century-bound kingdom. He's not building a terrestrial, earthly-bound kingdom. He's building an eternal spiritual kingdom. That's what he's about. Isn't that what he told the accusers and Pontius Pilate? My kingdom's not of this world. I got plenty of people who could fight you and take you down, but my kingdom is not of this world. We need to be about our master's business. Doesn't mean we disengage and become monks and forget about everything as if it has no temporary value. It does, but it's a drop in the cosmic bucket when it comes to something that endures. Your life can be more fulfilling than Taylor Swift can ever imagine. Unless she gets saved, Taylor Swift is not as satisfied and fulfilled as we should be as Christians. Why? No, we're not selling out stadiums. 60,000 people aren't coming to see us prance around in very inappropriate clothing, I might add. But the Lord's watching and the Lord's keeping tabs. And what we do for him lasts. That should change everything. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a question from Joseph. Todd, I love video games, and I've been playing video games for most of my life. I'm 26, and I don't want to be doing this in my mid-30s and 40s.
Why not?
What can I reply?
No, hold on a second. Why not? If it's okay in your 20s, what's wrong with doing it in your 30s and your 50s and your 60s and your 70s? I'll answer that question when Jimmy finishes.
He says, what can I replace video games with that honors God? Do you have any advice?
Oh, I think I might, but permit me, if you don't mind, to move this from being a personal response to being a general call to all young men who are immersed in video world, because this dude is at least recognizing, hey, maybe I'm getting to the age where I need to put childish things behind and do stuff. And I would affirm that. In fact, but I would go a step further. I don't think you should wait till you're 35 to realize that seems a little untoward. Seems a little inappropriate. I would suggest to you 26, your past game playing years. I would even go so far to suggest as at 16, should be done with it. We need to remember that God gives us discretionary time. We can use it for amusements. So I don't want to say that all video games for all time are absolutely sinful. But there is a trend right now where young men are frittering away. I said frittering away their youthful years where they're strong and they can be contributing and learning so much. They're wasting their years sitting on a couch with a joystick. So let me talk to those guys, not the fellow who wrote in. It's time to play the man. Games are childish things. They have virtually no value. If you put down that joystick and you ran 3 miles and then came back to your house, that would be time better spent than mindlessly playing these games where your brain is getting chemically altered because of the electronics and the concentration and whatever it is that you're doing in these games, which most likely lowers the image of human beings. You will get more benefit from physical exercise. How do I know? Because Paul didn't say physical exercise has no value. He said it has a little value. What has no value? For my money, playing a video game. Your thumbs, I guess, would be in good shape. Could you argue, well, my eye-hand coordination? Well, okay, if you're going to become a marksmith or some, you're going to shoot bow and arrow at the Olympics and you,
Marksman.
Well, see.
I don't. Yeah,
okay, this is what you don't know.
Can you call him that anymore?
There. Yeah, that's right. You can't. Mark Bot. How's about that? Let's make it gender neutral. You probably don't need that eye-hand coordination. So go run around the block. It'll be better for you. Now you want to do something even better? Do spiritual things. Oh, the laundry list. Do spiritual things. How's about personally? Let's start there with the means of growth. Your Bible reading, your prayer life, fellowshipping, learning about your Savior, communing with your God. Those will profit you. How's about getting plugged into your local church, serving others? and doing important things, caring things, loving things, kind things. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to be like Star Trek when they put it into warp speed, past your peers, because they're just playing games. Play the man. Do big things. Do important things. Do things, as Solomon would say, last forever. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.